The point taken, but there's so much more to say, and the mics are still on. It's Overtime with Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
Welcome to, what is this, episode 3 of Overtime at this point?
They all blend together.
Our bonus
you need to listen.
Yeah, this is our bonus podcast of Point Taken with Kristen Bry.
And Steve Scafidi.
And today, you brought this one up.
Yeah, parenting. I've been reading a lot about parenting because I have grandkids now and you have a young daughter, right?
I do, 2.5.
2.5, who's growing like right before your eyes. And what makes a good parent? So I've been watching clips. More.
So you sought this out. It didn't find you?
That's a good question. I don't really know. So often it pops up in a reel and that's how I first get connected to it and then I want to learn more.
Okay.
So I think I said reading, but actually watching might be more of where I sort of got this inclination to want to talk about it on Overtime. What makes a good parent? And I thought about I'll give you a quick example. So I was like an almost absent parent because I was gone all the time. I traveled for work. I'd travel around the country. I'd show up on the weekends and, hey, where's dad taking the kids to? Where are we going? What are we doing? Well, Kathy did all the heavy lifting, even though she worked full time.
That's how our family was too.
Yeah.
My dad was busy.
And my kids turned out great. They have successful lives. They're married. They have great kids and my grandkids. And I have friends who I've respected since I knew them in high school. They did essentially the same thing. Great parents. But in one case, tragic case, two of his three sons killed themselves.
Jeez.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so we talk so much about what makes a good parent. We've talked about it on the show, parenting and smartphones and parenting and what the involvement in the educational piece of the day is, or even in the one that you hate when I talk about is, you know, club sports and how alcohol has taken over that whole past time. But anyway, different topic for a different day. So I'm intrigued by the idea of what makes a good parent. I was watching a Noam Chomsky piece from like 10 years ago. He's a brilliant philosopher. He's known as a linguistic expert, a language expert, one of the best minds in the world. And he said this, there's no right way to parent. And I'm thinking to myself, given the examples I was just talking about, he might be right. Some of it's peer influence, some of it's circumstances, environment, poverty level, race. I mean, there's like a million factors. I don't know that at this moment in my life, having seen what I've seen, read what I've read, lived my life, that there is a right and wrong way to parents, other than some basic guidelines. Morality, don't push your kids to a life of crime. I mean, the obvious stuff. But I don't know there's a right way to parents.
Okay.
So I was watching on Twitter a video, and it's from a couple years ago. Jonathan Haidt, an author, smart guy who we both...
Very popular right now with The Anxious Generation.
Yeah, I just finished reading that again. And
you read it twice?
Yeah. Well, I like to reread stuff.
I should get on that. Since I'm the one with a
You know why I do that? Because books are expensive. And it's like, damn, I want to get the most out of it.
Okay.
I'm a quick reader. I miss things. And I definitely miss things in The Anxious Generation, which is a brilliant book. And I think I recommend it on our website. But, you know, I was talking about parenting and what makes a good parent. But there's some research and some ideas that... Perhaps conservative parents are better than liberal parents. That's where the political side of this thing gets really fascinating.
Yeah, so it's a conversation from a couple years ago. It's on a podcast called Conversations with Tyler. So let's just play it so listeners can hear what the clip is.
Who makes for better parents, left-wingers or right-wingers?
Right-wingers. There's a lot of data on this. There's long been a slight gap where conservatives are a little happier than liberals. And it's not clear why. Is that parenting? Who knows? But what I found in doing the research for the book is that the gap between left and right became a chasm after 2012. So we'll get to the reasons why that is. But the bottom line is when kids are rooted in communities, they don't get washed out to sea by the phone-based childhood, by living by the virtual world. So over and over again, whether we look at left-right, whether we look at religion, what we find is that it's the secular kids and the liberal kids who got washed out to sea, got really depressed after 2012, and much less effect on the conservative and religious kids because I think they're more rooted.
So as the left-of-center person on this podcast, that's like a tough pill to swallow.
Because
First of all, I mean, he says there's data. I think there's something to be said as far as what do we mean by better. But if the better in his case is less anxiety, less depression, less mental health issues.
Better performing education-wise, yeah.
Well, he didn't say that part.
But I think that's where he was going.
That's an assumption.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good one.
But
happier kid, better learner.
And I don't know. I mean, because he points to the community aspect. And so I think the question becomes, can you replace, like, are liberals just bad at replacing community as they've shed religion or moved to the suburbs, or like where are people? Because this is the big thing across
the
board.
Is there replacement value there? Who's doing that job at those groups, those religious groups, all those things? Who's doing that?
And so, so there's something to be said there. But I also wonder, I want to ask the further question of if you were to survey adults, who is more likely to have a bad, strained, or no contact relationship with their parents? Is it when their parents are right wing versus left wing?
I wouldn't have the answer.
I don't have the answer to that either.
But I mean, that's an interesting way to look at it.
But I think like there's something to be said as far as like I do subscribe to the idea that permissive parenting is different than gentle parenting. Right. But permissive parenting, I think, does lead to worse outcomes. I think there is like I'll give this example. So of the teachers at Frankie's school, there's four teachers in her classroom, two head teachers and two, they're not TAs because they're all the time, but they're newer to the profession.
Right.
So one of the teachers she's a kid whisperer, but she has boundaries. Like she holds those boundaries with those kids. And it is always like, all right, well, we lost our privileges. You didn't listen. So you're like, we lost our privileges for the slide for the afternoon. And like, she doesn't waver. She doesn't let the kids' tantrums like change. And it's never yelling, but it is like boundaries. And guess what? Who is my kid's favorite teacher? That one.
Interesting.
When I ask at 2.5, I mean, she loves all of them, but as far as like, there is something to be said as far as kids, especially young kids, they'll cry, they'll have meltdowns, but knowing what to expect and what is expected of them and what clarity that gives them. And so I don't necessarily know if is that right wing, is that left wing, but I do hear him as far as permissive parenting, thinking that kids always know best, how that can lead to not ideal outcomes. I don't know. It feels too flat of a question.
Yeah. Also, I know liberal parents. I know conservative parents. They all love their kids, generally speaking. So, I mean, it's not that easy. You mentioned boundaries, but that's really a conversation about discipline, right? Setting rules. So here's the parameters. You can do this up to this line, then you can't do that after that. Then otherwise,
well, and discipline, but discipline gets into a whole other question.
You're not
as far
talking about
like,
corporal punishment.
Yeah, we're talking about like hitting,
no,
being like super strict, and then
just
kids
rules,
rebelling
rules
against
and
that.
Boundaries. For example, and I'm going to take you way back to the 1970s. We had hall monitors in a high school, even at that time, one of the largest high schools in the state, and I think Oak Creek is fifth still in the states. We were afraid of those hall monitors.
Were they adults?
They were adult men. Adult men who sat in chairs, and if you did anything, why are you here? Where are you supposed to be? And if we don't like the answer, you're going to the principal's office.
Were these just volunteers?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Which is another amazing concept in today's world, because no one's doing that job anymore, right? Lawsuits
and the like. How adult were they? Were
they
like
seniors,
retired?
Seniors, yes,
so they're retired men.
Often
who
old police officers.
To go monitor high school students and yell at high school kids.
Yeah.
But were they curmudgeon-y?
I was.
Who volunteers their time to do that?
People who are interested in education and setting boundaries for kids. Anyway, that was just an example. But I love the preschool example because it's the same thing. You know what the boundary is. You don't go across it. And if you do, you know there's penalties. I would argue that good parenting is more about setting some rules. And I don't think it's generic to one or the other side of the aisle. I know parents on both sides. And some are bad on both sides. Some are great on both sides. It's not that easy. And to simplify it to conservative versus liberal, I don't like the argument.
I don't like the argument either. I think it's interesting. It was funny how quickly Jonathan Haidt answered that.
Yeah, he was ready for it.
He was like, oh, right wingers. I was like, oh, like with no caveats in there.
And
at
for
all?
Him to say that, I think that's somewhat surprising because it almost sounds like a cliched answer. Oh, of course, conservative families would be much more by the rules, by the book. Trust me, they're not. I know plenty of conservatives that break the rules all the time. They just like to play the political game of being conservative. It's more performative and theatrical than it is really how you live your life or even how you raise your kids. Trust me. And I've known a lot of parents in my life.
I'm trying to think of, like, I'm being judgmental in my brain right now, and I'm not going to name any names of, like, who I think are good parents versus not
well,
as good
name
parents.
People.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to name names.
It would be interesting,
but
though.
I also think I probably have too much of a biased sample size.
Well, are most of your friends liberal? And how are they as parents?
I would say most of my friends... I don't know, but it's also hard because, like, you're not in the home every day.
True.
Right? Like, yeah. I think it's like, who, like, what access? You can, like, have judgments on one-off decisions, but if you're not in the home every day, I think it's hard to judge other people's parenting. It's like, I do genuinely think that most people are trying their best.
Yes.
None of us are given handbooks.
None of it's easy.
I am a much more, not, I don't know if beta is the right word, but, like, the... I'm going to let Frankie at 2.5 potentially get hurt on the jungle gym before I'm going to, like, follow her around and make sure she doesn't.
I think that's good parenting. You're letting them explore, find out there's pain associated with, like, crazy behavior. I think that's good parenting.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of my – I am and with that, speaking of her preschool – she's like, the teachers told us at her fundraiser over the weekend, granted that a couple of them had like a couple cocktails, but they told Mike, they're like, we love Frankie. She's so confident. She's like the most confident kid in the class. And I was like, what if that has anything to do with the fact that I just kind of let her try?
I think so. Kids have to explore the world they live in. And if you shelter them or a helicopter parent them, even as they grow up, I think you limit their ability. And again, anecdotal, but Jonathan Haidt speaks to this generation of kids who are just worried about everything because they haven't experienced the pain and suffering that's associated with taking chances or doing some crazy things. We used to hang on to cars while they were driving through our neighborhood on roller skates. We could have been killed.
I've seen that scene in Dazed and Confused.
We used to take our bikes at as fast as we could and ram each other on a sidewalk at 25 miles an hour. That's how nuts, without bike helmets.
Okay, so here's the final question, then we'll move on to Ask Us Anything in our mailbag. So since you admitted that you were not, you know, you were busy and Kathy did most of the heavy lifting.
She did all the heavy lifting.
And since Kathy is liberal, does that mean you attribute your daughter's outcomes to a liberal parent?
In this case, yes.
Oh. Mm.
A win for the liberals. But I can give you other examples from liberals who did a horrible job. So I guess for me, and again, lucky to have a wife who was willing to not only work full-time, plus, because she did two jobs,
yeah,
and raise my two daughters while I was on the road from Monday through late Thursday or Friday, that's a home run on the marriage thing.
All right, lucky man.
Yes.
All right, so this comes from Franca. This is about our friend Bill.
Bill
McCoshin. Does it bother or surprise you that Bill is so proud to have his son working in the Trump administration? No.
No, actually, a father's pride in what their children do is an amazing thing, and I applaud Bill for being that kind of a dad. Look, I have two daughters. They're both different politically. I love them both equally. I mean, where they work, who they work for, even the ideas they have about life, that's the beauty of being a human being on this planet. We're going to have different ideas about things. But what I love about Bill McCoshin, the reason he's our Republican strategist on our Friday show is he's sincere. He believes in what he says. He is not afraid to criticize his president, which I appreciate, although he does drift a little too far into the mega world for me sometimes. But we understand each other. So I'm proud of Bill for standing up for his son and defending him.
Yeah.
He worked. He's doing a job. You don't have to like everything about every piece of everyone's...
I also think it doesn't surprise me because Bill supports this president.
Yes.
And supports Sean Duffy.
Yeah.
And so I think it all makes sense.
We're lucky, not to belabor the point, but we're lucky to have Bill McCoshin and Joe Zepecki on Friday's show. They're brilliant strategists and they're really good guys. And that we both appreciate them.
I agree. All right. So this one's for you. Steve, why not vote Democrat? Tiffany is a Trumper, an election denier. It appears you respect Joel Brennan and other Democratic candidates. Don't you believe that it's about the person, not the party?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And I'm not ruling out at some points. And I think Sheriff Clark, when he first ran, was a Democrat. So that sort of makes that a non-factor because I voted for him early on before he went cray-cray. But I do like Joel Brennan. I said he's the best communicator on their side of the aisle, Democrat side of the aisle, in this race. If Tom, I hate the election denying stuff. Somebody, Todd Alba, asked me that question on Thursday when he joined the show. Not a fan of that. And I challenge him every time I see him. I don't like that. But no candidate's perfect. Also, and the context that we were talking about, it was socialist versus Tiffany. That's about as extreme as we're going to get. I chose Tiffany in that on that occasion, in that conversation. I don't rule out ever that I might vote for a Democrat, including Joel Brennan. So I want to be fair-minded about it. Mad respect for Joel. That being said, he's got a tough road in this nomination process. He's a great communicator, but ultimately the public has to know you and then like you. He's not there yet.
He's not there yet.
No.
All right.
Any questions for you?
No, because this next one is, I like your Salute to Heroes feature. What do you think about doing something similar, a similar feature series around Labor Day, dedicated to all civic workers who keep our streets clean, maintain our water pipes, pick up garbage, trim trees, clear snow, keep our parks clean our sewer lines, recycle, deliver, post, etc. They are the people we take for granted sometimes.
Who asked that question?
That is from GK, GK,
awesome idea.
I like that idea.
Absolutely. And that's something, wouldn't take that much work to do, I don't think. I love it. I have friends who,
would this all be public works?
Yeah, public works.
So we could get in touch with the public, more
parks
public
workers,
and be like, who do you nominate from your division versus it being public nomination?
I'll say this, if we can't do it this year, we'll bring it back next year.
I like
it. It's a brilliant idea. And I like the Labor Day connection.
Yeah.
I have lots of friends who worked in DPW and still do, who helped me when I was a mayor and alderman and all the things I did for the city of Oak Creek. I love that idea. See, that's the cool thing about Ask Us Anything. You get stuff like this.
You get some ideas.
Some nuts, some good ideas.
All right. So then from my Instagram, who's most likely to join a cult, you or me?
Oh, you.
What?
Yeah. Not me. I hate cults. No, don't like them.
Okay. Who's most likely to survive?
Everything's for me.
No, this is for both of us.
Are you going to join a cult?
No, I don't think so. I think not.
Why do you think I'm going to join a cult?
I don't know. It's who's most likely, you or me?
I said you.
Fine. Who's most likely to survive a zombie apocalypse?
I've watched a lot of zombie stuff over the years.
I actually think you. I think I would. I don't think I have.
How do you kill a zombie?
I have no idea.
You got to puncture their skull and get into their brain. See, I'm already got the advantage.
Yeah,
or cut their head off.
Like any of those dystopian things, like The Quiet Place or whatever, just kill me. I don't want to live through that.
Are you afraid of science fiction?
I'm not afraid of science fiction. I just like, I don't know what's worth living when you live in those kind of dystopian, like we can't make a single sound.
It's the challenge of staying alive.
To do for what purpose?
To keep living.
In a terrible situation?
I love the Quiet Place movies. John Krasinski.
I'm not saying they're not good movies. My desire to live in that world just to be alive. Give me death.
You put Heather Graham and Emily Blunt and me in a room. That's a wow. Mm.
You really took that
I really
for
carried
a turn.
That out, haven't I?
All right. Who has the most underrated cheese curds in Milwaukee?
I'm not a cheese curd guy, so I mean I like cheese, but I don't know cheese curds. You probably would know that. You go out more than I do in Milwaukee. Although I go out quite a bit.
I don't know.
I'm not a cheese curd guy. Underrated cheese curds. You know who's got them? What was the... God, I was just at a restaurant.
I'm trying to think of who had really good batter that I was like, oh, this one's really good.
You know what? At Miller Park, old guy, AmFam Field had great cheese curds on opening day.
This year?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, there you go. Whoever's making that food.
All right. Well, that has been overtime for this week.
I like to kick into the Ask Anything. Ask Us Anything.
It's a good mailbag.
So
you can always get to our survey. You can also email us, text us on the text line. But we'll keep collecting your questions. Or if you just text ASK to 855-616-1620, we will put all of this in the newsletter. If you're not subscribed yet, what are you doing? Anything else we got?
Extra.
You're still looking for nominations for Salute to Service.
Right, get those coming in.
I'm still looking for people who would either like to donate,
you're
buy
looking
tickets.
For hairstyle choices?
Or if you have an item you would like to donate to the silent auction for Sojourner Family Peace Centers,
great organization.
Be the Light, please get in touch with me. What's your email?
steve.scafidi@wtmj.com.
And I'm
2F1D.
And I'm KBREY@goodkarmabrands.com. Or you can always reach out to us at extrapoints@wtmj.com. Is that it?
Yeah, thanks for listening. However you listen to us, we always appreciate it. I love when folks say hi. Keep the questions coming. I love those questions today. And
write a review, rate us.
Fans. Yeah,
keep being fans.
Yeah, love you guys.
Bye.